Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you all here this morning. We're going to continue in our study of the tabernacle, and this lesson is going to be about the roof, as it's called in the scriptures, the tent covering. So if you would turn in your Bibles two places. One, we're going to look in Exodus 26. And the second place we're going to look at is Revelation 4. So if you could find one and put your finger or a piece of paper or something in the other, we'll be moving back and forth. In the study of the tabernacle, we're going to be looking this morning at this structure, which is the covering over the tabernacle structure itself. And we've looked at all the furniture that's inside the tabernacle, and now we're going to look at this artist's depiction of the covering. And the first thing you notice about this covering is that there isn't just one covering. There are how many? There are four. I'm going to, hopefully, everybody who has studied the scriptures at all probably has an appreciation for the number seven. We find seven is associated so much with spiritual things, and in particular the completion of things. What I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to hopefully change your mind and help you think about the number four. The number four, as we're going to see this morning, is intensely related to the person of Christ. And we're going to see this in spades as we go through this tabernacle. So in the tabernacle, we have, on the roof, we have this first covering, which is a piece of fine twined linen, and it has extremely highly crafted needlework on it. On the inside, there are, on the ceiling, if you were inside the tabernacle, if you looked up on the ceiling on that fine twine linen, there would be a series of cherubim looking down on the contents of the tabernacle. Covering that, there's a coating of goat's hair. And then covering that, there is a covering of ram's skins, dyed red. And then on the outside, there's a covering of some kind of leather. We'll talk about that in more detail. So the question is, why four? Why not just put one? Certainly, one of them would have sufficed, although the linen probably would not have been adequate from a weathering standpoint, but you know, you get the idea. Why four? And so we're going to see if we can answer that question this morning. So in Exodus chapter 26, in the interest of time, I'm going to just read three verses, Exodus 26:1, 26:7, and 26:14. In those three verses, we have the description of these four coverings that are shown in this artist's depiction. So I need somebody, if they would volunteer, to read these verses in Exodus. Exodus 26:1, then jump to 26:7, then 26:14. So do I have a volunteer for that? Okay, Jim, and then Revelation 4:6-8. I need somebody to volunteer to read Revelation 4:6-8 when we're done with that. Marilyn, you want to take that? Okay, let's give attention to the reading of the word.
Make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of finely twisted linen and blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, with cherubim worked into them by a skilled craftsman.
And then verse.
Make curtains of goat hair for the tent over the tabernacle, 11 altogether. And 14. Make for the tent a covering of ram skins dyed red, and over that a covering of hides of sea cows.
Okay, we'll talk about the sea cows here in a minute. Okay, and Marilyn, Revelation 4, 6 through 8.
And before the throne there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal. In the center and around the throne, four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first creature was like a lion, and the second creature like a cat. The third creature had a face like that of a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God the Almighty, who was and who is to come."
Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much just for the privilege of being here this morning, for the freedom we have in this country, for the health that you have blessed us with, just for everything, Lord, that we have from your gracious hand. May you open our hearts this morning to the truth of these words, this word from you. May the Spirit of God weave these together to produce a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ before our very eyes. We trust this time to you. We thank you in advance for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you a question. This is the kind of question that probably if our granddaughter Elizabeth was here, she'd probably answer this really well. So we'll see. We'll see how you do. If you were going to pick an animal that was symbolic of kingship, what would you pick?
A lion.
A lion. Ah, okay. You're doing pretty good. Okay, here's another one that's a little trickier. If you were going to pick something that, a color that was symbolic of a sacrifice, what would you pick?
Red.
Red. Ah, he's smarter than you look. Well, we could go on through this and look at each one of the animals that are used in these scripture verses and also the colors. But I think as we go along, you'll see that the depictions that are used here are very logical, and in some cases we would have to place ourselves in the Middle East because the animals are more prevalent in the Middle East than they are perhaps here, but you'll see that as we go along. So in Revelation 4, 6, and 7, what are the four faces of the living creatures, the living beings, depending on your translation, that are surrounding the throne of God? What's the first one?
Lion.
The lion. And we've already kind of thought about the lion a little bit. But what's the second one?
A
calf or an ox. And the third one? Pretty straightforward, that's the man. And the fourth one is an eagle. Okay, so this is in Revelation chapter 4, this is right after the rapture of the church. In Revelation 4, 1, John sees a door opened in heaven and a voice says, "Come up here." And he is immediately caught up in the Spirit and is in the very presence of God. He sees the 24 elders, and around the throne he sees these four living beings. If you have the King James Version, I think it says creatures, but it's a more appropriately translated living beings. Now, the second question that I have on your sheet, we talked about this a number of months back. We discussed this in a little bit of detail. How do the four Gospels correspond to this image? Now, by this I mean, There are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And if you look at each one of those Gospels, and if you were to, as a college student, if you were to be required to make an outline of each one of the Gospels, kind of a summary, you would come to the conclusion that the Gospel of Matthew is written to the Jews, and it is a depiction to the Jews of Christ as what? Their king. That is something that just kind of oozes out of the passage. There are many things that are common denominators between Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but if you looked at and made an outline of the Gospel of Matthew, you would come to the conclusion, as Bible scholars have, that Matthew was written to the Jews, and it was written to present Christ as the king, the son of David. And that's why all that lineage is in there. So the very first gospel is a picture of Christ as king. Now, what is the picture of the first creature around the throne?
Lion.
It's a lion, which is a picture of Christ the
king.
Coincidence, right? Just coincidence. Well, bear with me, and we'll take a look at the next one. What is the Gospel of Mark, if you were making this outline and coming up with a sort of a heading over the Gospel of Mark? What would your conclusion be? Mark is a picture of what?
Servant.
He is. This is a picture of Christ as servant. Came not to minister to the unsaved, but came to minister to the children of Israel. That is a theme that pops up in the Gospel of Mark over and over. And if you had to, in the Middle East, if you had to pick an animal that was a picture of a servant, of servant tree, what would the animal be? It would be an ox. You've seen the pictures of the ox that are used to help plow the fields. They tread out the grain. We might use a horse here in the United States, but in the Middle East it would be the ox. So those two just coincidentally happen to agree with what is the second living being at the throne of God. It is also a what?
An ox.
It is an ox. And again, Matthew is the lion, Mark is the ox. Same order, same sequence, just coincidence. Okay, so then we go to Luke. And we're we're looking at the Gospel of Luke. And what does Luke do to present Christ?
Makes him human.
Luke presents him as a human being. Not just any human being, but a perfect human being. If you were to pick a color that was symbolic of perfection, what would it be?
White.
White. Well, just keep that in mind, okay? And if you were looking at the four creatures around the throne, the four living beings around the throne, what is the third one?
Man.
A man. Well, now this is just too much of a coincidence. Right? We've got Matthew, who's the lion, Mark, who is the ox, and Luke, who is the man. Well, this can't hold up, right? Let's look at the last one. How about John? How does the Apostle John present Christ?
He is God.
John presents a picture of Christ as God. It just oozes out of his pen. And so we're seeing that in this last gospel, we have a picture of deity. In the third one, we have a picture of man. We have a picture of the servant, and we have a picture of the king. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. If you wanted to pick a color that was representative of God, divine, heaven, what would that be? Blue sky, heavens, blue. So, what we have is, how did the four Gospels correspond to this image of the four beasts? And not only does it correspond, but it even corresponds in sequence, which I think is
quite a coincidence.
Quite a coincidence. It is really amazing, the sequence as it represents Christ. Now, let me just pause here for a minute and just ask some discussion here. Why do you think there are four depictions of Christ? Why not just one? Okay, so all the bases are covered. Let me ask you this. If you were going to give one depiction, one singular depiction of Christ instead of these four, which one would it be?
You can't choose.
Because if you choose John, which is presenting Christ as deity, you miss what? He's the Son of Man. He's 100% man. You miss that. Well, let's pick man then. Well, but then I miss that he is the one who suffered. I miss his sacrifice. Well, in other words, you can't pick one. It takes these four to paint a complete picture, as much as you can, of the person of Christ. Is everybody with me on this? It takes four. And God is using animals symbolically to represent that, and he is using colors symbolically to represent that. And I just think, wow, this is amazing. Now, We've seen the four faces of how many creatures?
Four.
Four faces of four creatures around the throne. And then we see that there are four Gospels. Everybody seeing the coinkydink of the four here? Okay, now let's go back and look at the four specific colors that are used in the tabernacle. I want you to look at Exodus 26:1. Which we started out with. You shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen and blue and purple and scarlet yarns. Okay, so we'll get into that. Look at verses 31 through 36. They want to read those for us?
Make the curtain of purple, or of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and finely twisted linen with cherubim worked into it by skilled craftsmen. Hang it with gold hooks on the four posts of acacia wood, overlaid with gold and standing on four silver bases. Hang the curtain from the clasp and place the Ark of the Testimony behind the curtain. The curtain will separate the holy place from the most holy place. Put the atonement cover on the Ark of the Testimony in the most holy place. Place the table outside the curtain on the north side of the tabernacle
and put the lampstand opposite on the south side.
Okay, so that is a picture of this item that is depicted here. It is the veil that separates the holy place from the holiest of holies. And that veil is made out of what? Fine twine linen. And what other colors? Blue, purple, scarlet. Okay? And in that depiction here, this is, as you were inside the tabernacle, as you face the Ark of Incense, which is here, right in front of that, this is where the prayers are symbolically offered in the tabernacle. And of course, the veil itself, the writer of Hebrews tells us, that was literally rent in two at the death of Christ, and that was a picture of his flesh, which was rent at the crucifixion. So, the Ark of the Incense, Exodus 26, 31 through 36. Exodus 27, verse 16. And by the way, did you notice how many posts there were that holds up that veil? Four. Oh, coincidence. Okay. Exodus 27:16.
For the entrance to the courtyard, provide a curtain 20 cubits long of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and finely twisted linen, the work of an embroiderer, with four posts and four bases.
There it is again. You getting the number four here over and over again? There's four posts, there's the curtain, and it has how many colors? Four. And this is the one that is hanging at the entrance to the tabernacle. We get a picture of that here. That is this, on slide number two, that is this screen that is in front of the gate, the only gate into the tabernacle. The way this operated is there's a large opening in here. It's 20 cubits or so wide, and that's wide open. But then there's a screen here to prevent people from casually walking by and looking in. You remember that this whole area is screened off, 7 foot high fence here, so that the casual observer coming by sees nothing of the glory and the grandeur inside the tabernacle. And that's symbolic of unbelievers. They come by and they see Christ and they see him as a good man. They see him as all those kinds of things, but they do not see any of the glory and the majesty that is in him. This screen, as it is named in the scripture, is mounted on four posts, and they actually have that depicted correctly here. Actually have four posts, and that is fine twine linen, and it is finely embroidered with blue, purple, and scarlet, and the white as the background of the fine linen. Everybody got it? So far we have this screen is fine twine linen. We have the veil that is inside is fine twine linen and embroidered. And let's take a look at the next passage, which is Exodus 28, verses 6, and then verse 15. Exodus 28, 6.
Make the ephod of gold and of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and of finely twisted linen, the work of a skilled craftsman.
The ephod is part of the attire of the priest, and it was to be made out of the same thing, same colors, exactly. And verse 15.
Fashion a breastpiece for making decisions, the work of a skilled craftsman. Make it like the ephod of gold and blue, purple, and scarlet yarn.
Yep.
And finely twisted linen.
So there you are again with the exact same array of colors, and that is in the breastplate. So the four specific colors that are used, they're used in the roof, That's in the covering over top the structure, the inside covering. It's used in the veil or the screen between the holy place and the holiest of holies. It's used in the one gate out here. It's used in this screen, which is the door into the tent. And it's used in the high priest as far as his ephod and the breastplate. Now, I'm sure this is all coincidence, right? Those are the only colors that are used here. You have the gold color, which, of course, is obvious. That is deity. And then you have all these other colors that are always found in groups of four, because it takes all four of them together to give us a picture of Christ. What do these four colors signify about Christ? The purple, if you had to pick a color that was symbolic of royalty, what would it be?
Purple.
It would be purple. So the purple is a picture of the royalty, the kingship of Christ. And which one of the four Gospels would that coincide to?
Matthew.
He's presented in Matthew as the king, royalty. Indeed. The scarlet would be a picture of the ram skins dyed red. And that would be a picture of what? Christ as?
Servant,
as sacrifice. The ox in the other picture. And then the third one, his perfect humanity. Which would that be? It would be white, and that would be the fine twined linen that is a part of all of those things. And finally, the blue, which is a symbolic picture of
heaven
and deity. So everybody got the picture here? It is woven. It is built into this very structure from every thread. Every part of this structure is a picture of Christ, either of him or of his ministry. And in some cases, it is a picture of us as his people. Now, I want you to come back with me here to this diagram. And, oops, I got the wrong one there. And I want you to picture walking inside this structure. You're now a priest, and you're going to go inside the structure. Now, let's take a look at what your surroundings are. When you walk through this front curtain, what is the material? Fine twine linen with blue, purple, and scarlet. Okay? You go through that curtain, and when you walk in, you look straight ahead, and what do you see straight ahead of you?
The altar of incense,
and behind that, the veil. And what is the veil? Fine twine linen, blue, purple, and scarlet.
Yes.
Then you look up, and when you look up, what do you see?
Cherubim.
Fine twine linen, blue, purple, scarlet. And in this particular case, it is woven into it a cherubim. So behind you is the fine twine linen, the blue, purple, and scarlet. Ahead of you is the fine twine linen, blue, purple, and scarlet. Above you is the blue. And on each side of you is what? No. On each side of you, the structure is the acacia wood, and it's overlaid with what?
Gold.
So just kind of think in your mind here for a minute. You walk into this structure. You have the fine twine linen above you, in front of you, behind you, on either side, gold. The candlestick is the only light in there, and it is just illuminating this whole area. It is absolutely breathtaking.
folks, this structure on the inside is unbelievable. And on the outside, what do you see? Nothing. Nothing. On the outside, you see this. It's just plain leather. The only ones that get to see what I have just described here on the inside is who? The priest. And in the Old Testament, the priest had to be a Levite, had to be a male, had to be between 30 and 50 years old. In the New Testament, who's the priest?
We are.
Every believer is a priest. And when you go in to serve Him, you are in that environment. You are in Christ, literally. You are in Christ. Does everybody understand that? Because there's not, when you're in there, you are in Christ. He's in the ceiling. He's in the front. He's in the back. There's only one part of that picture that's not right. We took care of the front wall, the back wall, the ceiling.
The floor.
The floor.
We talked about that.
What's the floor?
Dirt.
Dirt. Don't you think God could have put down some planks and overlaid them with gold so that we could have walked in on gold? What? Why did He leave the dirt on the floor? What is that symbolic of?
Where we came from.
That's where we walk. That's where we walk. And how did He take care of that? Because the priest, just in that structure, in all that glory, as they went from the table of showbread and trimmed the candlestick and went to the altar of incense and put the incense, and they did all that work in there, as they were going around doing those holy, wonderful things, what was happening to their feet?
Dirty.
They were getting dirty. Well, how did God take care of that? Put the laver on the outside before you could go in, and as soon as you came out, you did what? You washed. And what is the washing of the laver symbolic of?
Sacrifice.
Confession. That if thou shalt confess thy sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This tabernacle is an astounding picture, not only of Christ, but of our service. Well, let's go back and take a look at the four coverings. So what is the first? The inner roof covering in 26:1. We saw that it's fine twined linen with blue, purple, scarlet, cherubim. It's the king, it's the sacrifice, it's the purity, and it's the divinity. It's all of that woven in as God only can do. He chose the colors. He gave us the symbolicness of those colors so that we would recognize them. So what did the Levitical priest see when he was inside the tabernacle? We just talked about that. He saw the walls that were gold. He saw the ceiling. He saw the veil. He saw all the furniture was gold. Everything was perfect except what? Except for the floor. Except for the feet. What was placed over this linen covering? Exodus 26:7. What was placed over the linen covering? Goat skin. And what is the goat symbolic of? There are two aspects of this. There were two goats that were used. If you look at Leviticus 16:7-10, you have the account given there. In Leviticus 16:7-10, the Lord instructed them to bring two goats on the Day of Atonement, two goats to the entrance to the tabernacle. And they would draw lots, and one of the goats was used to what?
Sacrifice.
As a sacrifice. And the other goat was used as a
scapegoat.
And so they would lay hands on that scapegoat, and they would take it out into the wilderness, never to come back again. So the goats were a picture, a dual picture, if you will, of the sacrificial offering of Christ. It was a picture of what happens. There was the shedding of blood, and then there was the removal of sins. Your sins shall be taken as far as the east is from the west. They're drowned in the depths of the deepest sea, never to come back again. Those goat skins are a picture of the fact that our sins are taken away by the blood. So the price was paid and the sins were removed. What was placed over the linen and the goat's hair?
Ram
skins, and they're dyed
red,
and that's a picture of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. He died in our place. And the significance of that is in Hebrews 10, 19 through 22. There is just one offering. We have only one sin offering. And what is the last covering? Exodus 26, 14b. And that was, and this is an interesting thing, because this, the word that's used in the Hebrew here is, has no, it's not a Hebrew word. It's something that came in from probably the Egyptian culture, and they really don't know for sure what it is. Some of the translations translated badger skins, some translated porpoise skins. The word is more closely associated with an antelope, but there weren't any antelope there. And so we don't know for sure what it is, but basically, whatever it was, it had not to do with the animal itself. It was just a plain leather covering. And turn to Isaiah 53, and would somebody read verses 1, 2, and 3? Isaiah 53 is often referred to as the Old Testament Gospel. Isaiah 53:1.
Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised and held in low esteem.
Yes, so the picture that Isaiah gives of Christ is that he's not a charismatic person. He's not an attractive person. He wasn't particularly handsome. And that is depicted in the tabernacle by the outer covering, which was just a plain, drab leather covering. Plain and insignificant. And folks, that's what the unsaved person sees in Christ. They just see that plain outside covering. If they could only understand, they would see what's on the inside. And by the way, if you... and we're running out of time here, but if you start at the outside covering and you see Christ as plain, and then you begin to come in through each layer, you will find the plan of salvation there. The first thing you have to do is you have to come to the altar for the sacrifice, right? The same thing as you do when you come in through the gate. The next thing is, what happens after you come, after you trust Christ, is your sins are what?
Washed
away, taken away. And when that happens, you can now enter in, and when you enter in, you see Christ in all his glory. You are now in the tabernacle. The plan of salvation starting at the roof. The plan of salvation, exactly the same, coming through the front gate. Coming through the front gate, you come to what? The altar. You have to make the sacrifice. Then you come to the gate and you have to be cleansed. The sins are taken away. Then you go inside, and what do you see when you're inside? Oh, the glory and majesty of Christ. Starting from the outside, going in, what is the sequence of Christ's attributes? And it is salvation. It is the plan of salvation. In the structure, built into the foundation, it is salvation. And I put down at the bottom, hallelujah, what a Savior. What a Savior. I hope that this picture just reinforces your love and your commitment to Him. And next week we have a missionary speaking. The week after that we'll come back to this for our next to last lesson. The next to last lesson is going to be about the foundation. What is it that this whole structure rests on? And we'll talk about the significance of that. And then we'll finish up the last one. Actually, believe it or not, between holidays and and everything else, we only have a couple more lessons before the end of the year. We'll finish up the year with that. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day. Thanks for your incredible grace and mercy to us. And thank you, Lord, for this beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, starting at the tiniest threads woven throughout the structure, a picture of Christ in His ministry. It is just amazing. It is just a testimony of your plan, what you saw from the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world. May we take this with us as we go this week. Should you tarry, bring us back together again, that we might study and share together and enjoy the study of the Scriptures. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week.